Our scripture passage this morning comes from Psalm 104. Psalm 104, we're going to be reading verses 10 through 15, but we're not going to start this morning with the reading of the word. We'll get to that in a few minutes. What I'd like to begin with is a question, and that is, do you have any idea how lucky you are? As you sit here this morning, comfortable, do you have any idea how lucky you are? Now, I don't mean that you're lucky because you have a home when many people in the world don't have a home. I don't mean that you're lucky because you have a good job or a stable retirement account when many people in the world don't have that. And I don't mean that you're lucky because you have many friends and loved ones with which to share Thanksgiving today. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, do you have any idea how lucky you are to be alive? Simply to be alive. We live on a planet that is teeming with life. I always love that word from Genesis. Teeming. It's just filled. We live on a planet that's teeming with life. And because we do, life becomes very common for us. It's all around us. Everywhere we look, there's more life. All around us here, life everywhere. The grass outside is still alive. And the trees are alive. And the animals that we were talking about that this money is going to go for, they're all alive. Our world is alive, and we see so much life around us that we begin to take life for granted, but I don't think that we really understand how rare life is. In the last few decades, last couple of decades, scientists have been discovering things that are unbelievable. And I want to talk about a couple of those before we go into the scripture reading. They've been discovering things that seem to be saying, not seem, they are saying, that life shouldn't be here. That life is extremely rare, and the chances of life existing anywhere in the universe are minuscule. Because they've been discovering all of the many things that go into making life possible. And their list keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. First of all, they've been looking at what a universe has to have in it in order for it to even have the possibility that in that universe there would be life. And so far they have 26 things that they've discovered that all have to be extremely precise with regards to the universe as a whole before there's even the possibility that life could exist somewhere in that universe. I want to give you a couple examples. Scientists know that the universe is expanding. In other words, it's getting bigger. But what they've discovered is the importance of that. And specifically the importance of the rate at which it is expanding. You see, if the universe were expanding too fast, all matter would simply dissipate and scatter, and no planets or galaxies would come together, and there'd be no life. But if the universe were expanding too slowly, then all of the clumps would simply fall upon one another, and there would be no life. But what's really amazing is that the window that that speed has to be in, the speed with which that expansion has to take place in order for there even to be life in the universe, is so tiny. If the rate at which, let me say it this way, for there even to be the possibility of life in our universe, the speed at which the universe is expanding could not change by more than one part in 10 to the 55th power. Now, for those of us who haven't been in math class for a long time, that's 10 with 55 zeros behind it. Okay? It's this number. So, to get a handle on this, if the universe were expanding, hypothetically, at this exact speed, and that was in miles per hour, that speed could not vary by as any more than 1 mile an hour, plus or minus, or there would not even be the possibility for life in our universe. That's amazing. And that's just one of the 26 things that they've discovered that have to be exactly right, or there's no possibility to have life in our universe. The odds of that speed being exactly what it is, so that life might exist somewhere in our universe, can be likened to the odds of trying to take 1 million pencils that have all been sharpened and get them all to stand up on their tip next to one another on a completely flat surface at the same time without anything holding them up. Actually, your chances of getting 1 million pencils to balance like that are far better than the odds that the expansion of the universe would be at the precise speed that it has to be at for there to be life. Are we lucky or what? But there are other factors too. I want to give you just one more with regard to the universe. If for there even to be the possibility of life in this universe, we have to have both large stars and small stars. I've been doing a lot of reading on that this week. It's really amazing. We need large stars because they're the only source in the universe of many of the elements necessary for life. We have to have them. But we need small stars because they're the only ones that burn at a constant rate of temperature so that they could provide an environment where life could exist. So we need both large stars and small stars. Now, the thing that determines how big and how small our stars are is a relationship between two forces, the electromagnetic force and the gravitational force. I'm not going to bore you with all the details. I don't even understand all the details. But this is the bottom line of it, okay? If the relationship between the electromagnetic force in our universe and the gravitational force in our universe would change or were different than it is by one factor in 10 to the 40th power, either all of our stars would be large or all of our stars would be small, and therefore there would be no life in our universe. The chances of the relationship between those two forces being exactly what it is and able to sustain life are comparable to the chances of reaching your hand into a stack of dimes that is as wide as North America and as tall as the moon, up to the moon, and picking out the one dime in that stack that's red on your first try. Are we lucky or what? Because it is exactly the way it has to be for there to be life anywhere in our universe. And those are just a couple of those 26 that they've come up with regards to the universe. But they have a whole separate list of things that, given the fact that all 26 of those things were just perfect by some happenstance, they have a whole separate list of things that all have to be just perfect for one of the planets in that perfect universe to sustain life. A whole separate list. And that list has 41 things that all have to be just perfect. If our planet were 2% either closer or farther from our sun, there would be no life here. It would either be too hot or too cold. If the rotation of our Earth were a little bit faster or a little bit slower, there would be no life here. Because if it were a little bit faster, the wind velocity would be unbearable. And if it were a little bit slower, the difference between the daytime temperature and the evening temperature would be too great to sustain life. If the percentage of oxygen in our atmosphere were to change by the smallest amount, there would be no life here. Because if it were less than it is now, it wouldn't sustain us, because we need oxygen. If it were more than it is now, things around us would burst into flame because they had too much oxygen in them. Are we lucky or what? And this is the best one. I love this one. You know what? If Jupiter wasn't exactly where it is, and it wasn't the size that it, you know, it's huge, life on this planet wouldn't exist. And the reason is because it's so huge. And because it's placed just where it is, it either absorbs or deflects with its atmosphere almost all of the meteors or comets that are on their way here. Having it just where it is and the size that it is makes it possible for life to exist here. And if it weren't that way, life wouldn't exist here. There was a time when we took life so much for granted that it seemed obvious to us, or maybe not to us, but to scientists, that there must be life somewhere else in the universe if there's life here. I mean, why should we be so special that we would have life and no other place in the universe would have life? But they're changing their minds about that very quickly. Because by all accounts, and when you take all the factors into consideration, there shouldn't even be life here. The chances of finding a planet that can sustain life in a universe that can sustain life is 1 out of 1,000,000,000,000,000. And there aren't nearly that many planets in the universe. We shouldn't be alive. And yet we are. Our planet should not have life. And yet it does. And at some point, when you stack up all of the probabilities, luck seems like the worst possible word we could use. Because no amount of luck could explain it. As we sit here this morning, we sit assembled with the perfect elements, all in the proper proportion, in the perfect atmosphere, on the perfect planet, within the perfect solar system, in the perfect galaxy, which lies in the perfect universe, for us to take our next breath. Not even luck can account for that. Today we're going to go home, or we're going to go to the home of friends or relatives, and we're going to feast on the abundance of life. We're going to spoon it from pot to plate. And we're going to pour it from bottle to glass. And we're going to lift it to our mouths and we're going to take it in. And by a process that nobody can fully explain, it's going to sustain us and keep us alive. Now, who do we have to thank for that? And yet it is. Psalm 104, beginning with verse 10. It says, "He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart." One of the most striking prayers and moving prayers that I've ever heard was in a children's cartoon video. I watch a fair amount of those. And the man in the cartoon was at a table, and before dinner, he took a loaf of bread and he lifted it up into the air and he said, "We thank you O Lord of heaven, that you bring forth food from the earth. Very simple. And yet, when you understand all of the things that have to be just perfect in order for that to happen, it is completely amazing. We give thanks to you, O Lord of heaven, that you bring forth food from the earth. We see it every day. We eat it and drink it. And yet, how often do we stop to give him thanks? Not only, Lord, we thank you for this food, but Lord, we thank you for this food because it means life for us. The more we learn about the universe, the more profound that prayer becomes. How simple and yet how amazing is that loaf of bread, or those mashed potatoes, or that slice of turkey that we share? How amazing is it that we should share in this abundance? And how unthinking and ungrateful and ignorant we would be to fail to give thanks from the bottom of our heart for every single morsel to the Lord who sustains us. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, Paul says, "There is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live." Every Sunday of the year, we give thanks to the Lord for the life that we have in him, the spiritual life that we have in him, and rightly so. But today, we give thanks to the Lord for life itself. The most incredible and improbable thing in the universe. Let's pray. Lord of heaven, we give thanks to you that you bring forth food from the earth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.